Assalamu alaikum everyone. I am in the city of Granada. This is in southern Spain. This was the last stronghold of Islam and Muslims to fall to the Catholic monarchs in 1492. We have discussed it extensively already in our previous vlogs. This is Alhambra Palace Complex. Okay, what you see behind me are the towers, okay, that protect the whole compound. And what you see behind me is the old city of Granada, where the sultans lived before they built the palace complex on this hill, because it's strategically well protected. It is protected by the mountain range called Sierra Nevada. Sierra Nevada mountain range is directly behind the palace complex of Granada. And sultans and kings would build city complex or palace complexes like this, with mountains behind them, because they are naturally protected. It's a natural fortress protecting them. So penetration from behind the mountains is not easy for armies to do. So they would have to worry about what is in front of them, which is flat plain, right? So if we keep walking, okay, I will tell the story very quickly. The Kingdom of Granada, as we know it today, was founded by the Nasirids or Banu Nasr. Okay, the first sultan was Sultan Muhammad al-Awwal, also known as al-Ahmar. Okay, Sultan Muhammad al-Awwal al-Ahmar. Okay, Muhammad the First. He descended from one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Medina. His name was Sa'd bin Ubadah. So Banu Nasr were the descendants of Sa'd bin Ubadah, and in 1231, Muhammad the First took the city of Granada from the previous dynasty that was ruling here, the Zirids. So the Zirids were ousted in 1231 CE, and in 1236, this palace complex was initiated by Muhammad the First. So you can see the remnants of it. We're gonna go inside very soon, and we're gonna look at the Alhambra Palace. It's mind-blowing, the artwork, the calligraphy, and the designs and the geometric patterns on the walls and on woodwork. They will blow your minds away. Okay, very quickly, I want to mention some of these towers were actually blown away by Napoleon's army in the 19th century, okay, early 1800s, when Napoleon had taken parts of Spain and his army was basically planted here or based here. And before they left, they decided to blow up some of the towers, and some of the local heroes, they came and they put the fire out, and what remains is because of their hard work. So some part of the palace complex were burnt down by Napoleon's army. So it's absolutely magnificent. We are right now in the royal gardens. They would have looked different, inshallah, keep following me. They would have looked different at the time, of course. Now today, they have been built recently by the Spanish government. There's a lot of change, but the palace complex inside is absolutely mind-blowing, and there's a lot to see in there as we will. So just behind me, we just want to have a quick glimpse into the garden. Let's go. So this was done later on. This is not necessarily historic. This is just to make the palace look beautiful from the outside. But once we go inside the palace, it is absolutely mind-blowing. So watch that space, as they say. So this is another view of the palace complex, the walls protecting the palace. This is the new palace. When I say the new palace, this was built later on. We will visit it. It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's magnificent. If you look at it, looks absolutely amazing. It's so beautiful. That's the old city there of Granada, where the sultans lived before they built Alhambra Palace, where we stand right now. We are standing on the older part, the Summer Palace, also called the Summer Palace. And you can see the plains behind the city, the flat plains there. Okay, this is where the Catholic army in 1492 came to take the city of Granada. Okay, and they besieged the city for 1 year, and it took 1 year for them to take the city, and basically they forced the city to surrender. And in 1492, the city fell to Ferdinand and Isabella, who were the rulers of Castile and Aragon, and this beautiful complex obviously fell into their hands. So we will visit this complex very soon. Just wanted to show you. Okay. So inshallah there's more coming. We will share more from the
inside. Everyone,
we have been through the garden. Now we're going to go inside the summer palace that was built by the first Nasserid Sultan called Muhammad I Al-Ahmar, the founder of the dynasty who came to power in 1231. This palace complex was built first. So this is the earliest Nasserid palace complex here. It's called the Summer Palace. So we're going to go up, and this was started in 1236. So we're going up, you're going to be blown away, as they say, behold. Okay? And it is absolutely magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Okay? So you can see, this is like a garden. There are... Maybe this is inspired by the Quran. The Quran describes Jannah with rivers flowing underneath, right? So you can see they created their little paradise on this planet here, on planet Earth. If you follow me very quickly, so there's water flowing, there are fountains, there is a small garden here, and it's overlooking the old city and the flat plain and later palace complexes that you can see there. If you look there, those are later palace complexes made by later sultans. Okay, so we will look at them as well later on. Now I want you to see this very quickly. This is an absolute masterpiece. This is 800 years old. This was started in 1236, and this is all plaster. Okay, and this plaster was put in molds, and then tiles were made, and these tiles were put up, and obviously the molds were made by hand. They were carved by hand. Look at the style of calligraphy. We have Kufic here, we have Arabic calligraphy in Kufic, and then we have Nasr also, which has kind of faded away here, but there you have the emblem, or sorry, the motto of the Nasserid dynasty: Wala Ghalib Illallah, Wala Ghalib Illallah, Wala Ghalib Illallah, all over the palace. Why did they put this formula all over the palace? Because they are trying to express the humility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're trying to give a message that we may be very strong, very powerful, very able to do all of this. We have our calligraphy, we have our artwork, we have our architectural techniques, but despite all of that, Wala Ghalib Illallah. In spite of all of that, Wala ghalib illallah. No one dominates except Allah. No one overpowers except Allah. On that note, we're going to move on very quickly to the arches. I just want to have a quick view there of the later palaces. That these are also palaces built by later sultans respectively. There were 34 Nasserid sultans over a period of 250 years. The Nasserids came to power in 1231 and they lost the city of Granada, or the state of Granada, in 1492. So you can do the calculations. So these palace complexes were built by later sultans respectively. We will have a look at them as well. This is the first one built by the very first sultan in 1236. Just look at the aesthetics. Just behold the aesthetics. So beautiful, it's unbelievable. It's 800 years old, brothers and sisters. And this cannot be done today. In my opinion, it is not possible to repeat this today. Look at this, subhanallah. Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. What man can produce, okay? Sometimes I think it weren't humans who did this. It's subhanallah. So, Islamic formulas are all over the place. You see, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, clearly inscribed in Nasr script here. And then we have Muhammad Rasulullah on the other side, clearly written, clearly inscribed. And then we have other formulas in the Arabic language, many sayings and verses in the Quran. And this script you can see is Kufic, and this is Nasr. So different scripts have been mixed up. Now this is a beautiful room. Sorry. Sorry, this is a beautiful room where I'm assuming the Sultan would sit here with his family and look at the older part of the city, old Granada, which is on the other side where the Sultans initially lived before this complex was made in 1236 CE. So you can see the aesthetics, you can see the roof is absolutely mind-blowing. This is the older part of Alhambra Palace. This is the first part of the palace which was built in 1236 onwards, okay? And you can see the geometrical patterns, you can see calligraphy, floral designs. So if we just put the floral designs aside, even the calligraphy is absolutely mind-blowing. If you look at this one very quickly, you see these floral designs in the middle, but then all over, wala ghalib illallah, no one overpowers except Allah, no one dominates except Allah. So this is basically to express the humility that we have done this, we can do this, but Allah is the most powerful. Allah is the most dominating. So we're going up now. We're going to try to join our group very quickly. I do apologize for any one, disturbed by some of the dress code of the people, something we cannot control. People have their freedom. In the summer, a lot of the tourists, they dress quite revealingly. So that's something we cannot control, of course. And we're trying to avoid that as much as we can. And we will join our group. So brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, we do these tours so that you can be educated on the history of Islam and Muslims in Al-Andalus. Now, we stand on the roof of the summer palace, overlooking the old city again. Behind me there, you can maybe go close, zoom in. And on the left, you can see the later palace complexes, and then facing the older city of Granada, and that's the flat plain where the Catholic armies in 1492 came. Ferdinand and Isabella, two rulers of two states, Castile and Aragon. Aragon was ruled by Ferdinand, and Castile was ruled by Queen Isabella. They united by marriage, and their mission was to remove any trace of Islam from Al-Andalus, from Spain. And this was the last stronghold standing. This is where the kings of the Nasrid dynasty lived with their families and with their entourage. And in 1492, the city complex fell to the Catholics, unfortunately. And the last Nasrid king, Abu Abdullah, also known as Bobdil, Bobdil is a corruption of his name or his kunya, Abu Abdullah. So Bobdil is not his name. His name or his kunya was Abu Abdullah. This is the name he was known by. So you resting? Yeah? No problem. Our group, some of the people. We're going to go up and come down. Okay, let's go. Let's go. Let's see what do we have. So we are here with a group of people, about 30, nearly 30 people, and we do these tours every few months. On average, every 3 months. You're most welcome to join us on one of these tours. You can check out the future dates on halalgetaways.com. HalalGetaways. Because a lot of people, they don't put the S in the end. So it's halalgetaways.com. Halalgetaways.com. Check out the future dates. We will be visiting Morocco and Spain, respectively, in October. So from the 20th of October to the 25th, we'll be in Morocco doing a history tour. And from the 25th to the 30th of October, we'll be in Spain again. You're most welcome to join, inshallah. Check out the future dates for Turkey, Morocco, and Spain on the website Halal Getaways. So we are here with the group. We're going to join the group very quickly. And there's a lot more to see. So we will show you now next the later palace complexes that will blow your minds away. That kind of artwork, that kind of beauty, artistic expression, human expression cannot be found anywhere in the world. This is unique. This is one of a kind. This cannot be found anywhere in the world. So watch this space. So everyone, okay, wait. You're going to have to avoid this. I don't want this. So the Inquisition was a very brutal institution. It was initiated to crush dissent, to control dissent, to neutralize dissent, and it was already happening in mainland Europe. Okay, the church had already, because the Inquisition was a church institution. It was basically sanctioned by the Catholic Church. It was a Catholic institution. Okay, it worked under the church, the leadership of the Pope or papacy. So Inquisition was responsible for arresting, questioning, and eventually torturing and putting to death those who disagreed with the church or those who challenged the church. If the church establishment didn't like what you're saying or what others said, they would simply hand you over to the Inquisition. The Inquisition would pick you up and they would basically torture you, get a confession from you, and in many cases burn you at the stake. Okay, so the history of Inquisition is very long. We're not going to go into that, but we're going to come to the Moriscos, Muslims of Granada and Valencia. The largest concentration of Muslims in Spain by this time, by 1492, is here in this city, around the old city, around this palace complex, what we call today Alhambra Palace. Okay, kings lived in the palace, and the rest of the city, obviously, you know, people had their own trades and pastimes and their own ways of making a living. But when the Catholics came in, the Muslims were simply handed over to the Inquisition. First, the entire population was forced to accept Christianity, okay? And then, after they accepted, they were forcefully baptized. After that, the Inquisition was unleashed on them. So the Inquisition would go to Muslim homes and they would test whether they are actually Christian. They would want you to hang pig meat from the wall or from the roof, a pig leg, preserved, seasoned, and they would come and they would make Muslims bite from it. They would make Muslims curse the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would, make you say Christian things. Jesus, for example, Jesus is God and things like that, right? And if you fail to do it, you would be handed over to the Inquisition and you would be tortured, and there are many cases. By the way, the case of Moriscos, the Muslims who remained here and who were forcefully converted, their case was unknown for a very long time. It was lost in history and historic records. It was brought to the attention of the world in the 19th century by an American scholar called Henry Charles Lee. You know about him, Marie? Henry Charles Lee was a historian from Pennsylvania in the US. And he was researching Inquisition records. So he basically managed to get many Inquisition records sent to him, the copies, in the US at that time, right? While he was studying these records, he came across these cases of the Moriscos. And then he realized, hold on a second, this is something mind-blowing. This is absolutely horrendous, right? So he decided to write a book on this topic. For the first time, a detailed treatment of the Moriscos as a phenomenon came to light through Henry Charles Lee's book called The Moriscos. It was published in 1902. This is the first time the world woke up to the plight of the Muslims. Of course, the phenomenon was known before as well. I'm not saying it wasn't known. It was known. But to this extent, the amount of torture and killing and oppression and tyranny that took place here after Granada fell was only realized after Henry Charles Lee authored this book. I strongly recommend for everyone to get this book. You can get this book online easily. There are some Indian publishers. They have made some affordable copies, right? Reprints. If you Google the word Moriscos, okay, and the word Henry Charles Lee, Lee is spelled with L-E-A. Just put Moriscos and Lee, the book will come up. Read that book if you can, and it will blow your minds away. Seriously, I cannot explain and describe the amount of pain and torture those Muslims went through after Granada fell, okay? This is why I believe, I have a theory, that Muslims, they were better off fighting to death. All of them here. They were better off fighting to death than surrender to these barbarians, these racist tyrants and religious bigots, because they came in and they forced the entire population into Catholicism. And what followed was absolutely crazy. You must read that book. Okay, let's make a move, inshallah ta'ala, everyone. Okay. Okay, everyone, we are moving towards the later palaces. As mentioned earlier, we have looked at the Summer Palace. Okay, we have looked at some of the towers. This palace, or this building, was built in the 16th century for Charles V, who was one of the successors of Isabella and Ferdinand. Okay, he ruled in the mid 16th centuries, 1500s. And the palace wasn't completed. They ran out of money and it was not completed. Okay, so it was built here right in the middle of Alhambra Palace complex for Charles V. You can see it is built upon the European Renaissance design. Okay, it's very lavish, very huge, gigantic building, right? So we're moving towards the later palace complexes built by later sultans. That's where the Court of Lions is, very famous Court of Lions. It's a very special place, very, very beautifully decorated and immensely important in the history of Alhambra, okay? Or in the history of Islamic Spain, the Court of Lions. You will see what I mean when we get there, inshallah. Now, in this building, they have a museum inside, a small museum that one can go in, and they have some artifacts from the Islamic period, some coins and other things. So this is where we will enter from the later palace complexes from. The museum is inside this building. We're not going to go there. We're going to go there through those gates. And when we pass through those gates, inshallah, we will be entering the later palace complexes where the Court of Lions is. That's a very important place for us to see. Inshallah, we will see it later. For now, I'll stop here, inshallah. Okay, everyone, I am inside the museum. You can see that's the entrance. And here I am inside the museum. Just wanted to quickly show you what the museum possesses. There are some Quran manuscripts inside from Al-Andalus. They are on vellum, which is like a kind of skin, membrane between skin and meat. So earlier Andalusian manuscripts were written on this material. This is a Quran from the Andalusian period. Okay, we can see here the details. Okay, there's another one there. Okay, it's beautifully scripted, handwritten on vellum, on parchment. This is not paper. So there are some of the coins from Al-Andalus. I have some of them in my private collection. You might have seen them with me. These are coins from Islamic Spain and possibly Umayyad coins from other parts. Yeah. Okay. Some amazing Islamic coins inside the museum. The building I showed you from outside, built by Charles V, wasn't completed.
I guess I fell out.
Oh, sorry. Cannot speak? Sorry? I cannot.
No se puede hablar.
Okay, okay. Okay, I've just been told that I can speak in the museum. So there are some old remains inside the museum as well. There are a lot of artifacts in this museum from the Muslim period. You can see some of the beams here. Right. So everyone, when you visit Alhambra Palace complex, try to look at the museum. It has some interesting. And that's the building, it looks like, from the outside. It wasn't completed, but now there's a museum here that houses some of the artifacts found from this library. That's an amazing door, hand-carved door. So it's not a very big museum, it's a small museum, not very big, not very extensive. There are some galleries here that you can come and look at. Just wanted to give you an idea. This is the original tub from the Court of Lions, we will see later on. This is the original tub. The one they have right now is a replica, but this is the original tub, marble tub from the Court of the Lions. And I'm gonna make my way out. Allah. Right. Okay, this is what the building looks like from the inside. Okay, it's like a giant courtyard. It wasn't completed. Apparently, Charles V, his establishment, they ran out of money. You saw the building from outside, it's very lavishly built and decorated. Inspired by the Renaissance architecture of the 16th century. And this is what it looks like. Now we're gonna make our way inside the old palace complex. Sorry, the later palace complex built by later sultans, later Nasserid kings of the kingdom of Granada. Okay, inshallah we're gonna be entering those palaces and you'll be blown away, simply blown away by the sheer beauty and the magnificence of those buildings. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, we are now entering the Court of Justice. Okay, in the later palace complexes. So this is called the Court of Justice. We're going to be entering very soon. Inshallah. Okay, because we're with a group, so we have to move together. We're going to show our tickets.
You know, one of the many hadiths says that this sultan is the shadow of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this throne. The poem decorating the wood on the top will say that the sultan is the shadow of justice on this earth, because this used to be the court of justice. So any issue that people have from
the Alhambra and also from the old city will have to come here, and the sultan will be
implementing the law. And then the plaster is decorated with
Wala Ghalib. Okay, so here we have, keep it straight, yeah, please. This is the Court of Justice. You can see how richly decorated it is. We know from this part that the Sultan would sit underneath here. And you can see the roof. So this is the Court of Justice, or the Room of Justice, where the Sultan would sit here. Yeah. We know that because of the ceiling. There is some decoration inside the ceiling. Yes, absolutely. stuff I mentioned earlier, but there's something very powerful here. You see, the Sultan who would be sitting here delivering justice, there are things for them to remember, okay? There are formulas going through the hall. This strip has three formulas on it. Al-mulku lillah, land belongs to Allah. Al-qudratu lillah, power belongs to Allah. Al-izzatu lillah, honor belongs to Allah. So this is a reminder for the Sultan and his establishment, his entourage, that be aware of Allah. Keep Allah in mind when you are delivering justice. So this is why the strip goes throughout the hall saying the same thing. And amazingly, I just want everyone to look at this room.
Explain the mihrab and what
is it? Okay, this is the prayer area. This is the prayer area. This is where the Sultan would pray. It's attached next to the audience hall of justice. Okay, this is the mihrab. This is the mihrab, and this is Allahu Akbar. You can only see the decoration here is unbelievable. It's mind-blowing. This is wala ghalib illallah, wala ghalib illallah. All the way, Allah. No one overpowers except Allah. No one dominates except Allah. So this is again the prayer hall, prayer area overlooking the city. You can see, okay, the city in the distance. This is the prayer area. And the mihrab is here, absolutely beautifully decorated. So it is absolutely amazing to see this, and we're going to move on to the next section of the palace from the Hall of Justice or Audience Hall. We come out in this courtyard with this magnificent structure, this magnificent piece of art. You can see this is absolutely amazingly decorated. There are, again, same formulas, wala ghalib illallah, wala ghalib illallah, all over. There are wooden beams on the top, or there is Arabic calligraphy which has a lot of dust on it, so we cannot read very clearly through the camera. But this is absolutely magnificent. This is after the Hall of Audience. So this is absolutely mind-blowing. This is just unbelievable. Subhanallah. Very, very beautiful artwork. Again, you can see a shield here with wala ghalib illallah. The sheer detail of this, you know, just the detail of this is just so amazing. Allahu Akbar. We're going to soon move on to the Court of Lions, and then we will show you what's there. Now we are moving into the main courtyard. Behold, as they say, this is one of the most beautiful places in these palace complexes. This is the courtyard. This is the main courtyard. And the blue color that was used to decorate this apparently came from Afghanistan. It came from as far as Afghanistan, this blue color. There was a specific stone that they would grind to color this. Okay, this decoration is absolutely mind-blowing. There's a lot of calligraphy here. There is poetry, there are verses in the Quran, naturally, Allah ghalib ilallah. Look at this door. Yeah, this is absolutely amazing. It's a massive door. So if you look from here, this is one of the best views of this courtyard. There's a lot of decoration there, everyone. This is Alhambra Palace. So if you want to be here, brothers and sisters, join us on our future trips. You can check out the dates on halalgetaways.com. The future dates of our trips to Al-Andalus and checking our Islamic legacy, this beautiful, magnificent Islamic legacy created by Muslims of Spain, Muslims of Granada. Just gonna take you inside this hall. This is mind-blowing, absolutely magnificent. This is where the king would sit, and he would deliver justice, meet dignitaries, foreign delegations, and this would send shivers down the spines of anyone who walked in here. Camera cannot do justice to what we are looking at here. You have to be here in person to behold this. As I said, camera does not show the real beauty of this place. SubhanAllah. This is the ceiling. And it looks like the sky, heaven with stars. Absolutely amazing, brothers and sisters. You must visit this place with family, with your youngsters, with your kids, so that they can be inspired by the legacy of Islam and Muslims. There are people coming from all over the world, non-Muslims and Muslims traveling, but not enough Muslims are coming here, unfortunately. You will see people from Korea, from Japan, from the US, from Germany. Non-Muslims seem to be more interested in this legacy than the Muslims are, for some reason. So I invite all Muslims watching to come and behold this, brothers and sisters. This is absolutely magnificent. Just look at that. Every single window, every single room, every single section of this palace is absolutely magnificent. Decorated. SubhanAllah. Just look at this. If Muslims don't know about it, then who will? Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd. This Arabic calligraphy, verses from the Quran, Wala ghalib ilallah, all over the palace. There is Wala ghalib ilallah written all over the palace. Brothers and sisters, like here, you see, Wala ghalib illallah, Wala ghalib illallah. Okay, this is absolutely magnificent. There are so many non-Muslims who come to visit Alhambra Palace. This is built by the Muslim sultans of the Nasirid dynasty who ruled Granada from 1231. From 1231 to 1492. This was lost in 1492. The Catholic monarchs, the Queen Isabella of Castile and King Ferdinand of Aragon, they came and they took this territory from the Muslims, and this fell into Christian hands, and this fell into, this was neglected for a very long time. We are very surprised that this lasted this long, despite the neglect. So inshallah, we'll be looking at more very soon. Okay, everyone, we just came outside of the hall and we're gonna go now to the real gem of the Alhambra Palace. The whole Alhambra Palace is full of magnificent details, and every single corner you just want to, you know, admire and look at it for hours. look at all this calligraphy and this carving. But guess what? Get ready to be blown away. This is the famous coat of lions, one of the most iconic places in the world. Just look at this. This does not look like a part of this world, or a part of this world, or this planet Earth. SubhanAllah, just look at this decoration, everyone. I just want you to imagine the amount of hard work and dedication that's gone into this. This carving and plaster tiles and even the molds, making these molds. It's unbelievable. This is the famous coat of lions in the Alhambra Palace. So brothers and sisters, just want everyone to behold, everyone to appreciate what we have here. We're gonna go in here and then come back out, inshallah. Allahu Akbar. Just look at the ceiling. How this survived is beyond me. Cannot make sense of this, but this was neglected for hundreds of years after the Catholics took this territory. Alhambra Palace was neglected, and it was only in the 19th century when the Spanish government started to pay attention to this magnificent structure. You're gonna have to come around. Yeah. Just that way. That way. Yeah. So, walking in here, brothers and sisters, it just takes you to another world. So those of you who are still watching from far, those of you who are still thinking about visiting, whether to visit or not, you must bring your kids, your youngsters here, for them to be inspired. You can preach to them, you can preach to them, you can preach to them, but you don't have anything tangible to show them if you don't bring them here. Let them see what the Muslim civilization actually looked like in reality. This is the greatest, one of the greatest achievements of the Muslim civilization, Muslim art. So you can see a lot of tourists here, okay? I do apologize for the dress code. It's not in my control. If you are looking at people who are just walking into the camera and lens, they're being caught by the lens. So please do forgive me for that. But just look at this, SubhanAllah, unbelievable. So I want to show you very quickly, brothers and sisters, what we are looking at. This is with the Sultan. This is the private quarter for the Sultan and his family. This is where they would come to relax. And these are the famous lions of Granada. I showed you the original tub in the museum. This is a replica. The lions are real. This decoration is absolutely mind-blowing. There are a lot of tourists here. They come from all around the world. There was an author called Washington Irving. We're gonna go to his room as well very soon, where he wrote his famous Tales from Alhambra. This is another hall, very lavishly decorated. Allahu Akbar. These were probably private rooms of the sultans, the kings, who lived here. And when they would walk out, they would walk out into the court of lions, the famous court of lions. Imagine living this life. Imagine the luxury and the beauty they had around them. But again, if you see one thing consistently throughout, wala ghalib illallah, wala ghalib illallah, all over the palace, there on the walls, everywhere, wala ghalib illallah. Why? وَلَا غَالِبَ لِلَّهِ. There, look. No one overpowers except Allah. No one overpowers except Allah. This is basically humility being demonstrated by the sultans, that we have created all of this, but وَلَا غَالِبَ لِلَّهِ. Allahu Akbar. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ. This is again another private room overlooking the old city and the city walls. You can see at a distance there, those walls. So brothers, sisters, dear friends, you should bring your youngsters, your kids here. You should let them see this. This one has something very amazing, this part. There are some decorations on the roof. As you can see, they were done during the Nasirid period. These are hunting scenes. This is the king with the turban, you can see, one of the Nasirid kings. And there are some Christians depicted hunting lions and bears and other animals. This is a ceiling decorated. Then the other side, we'll have a look very quickly where the sultans are depicted. Some of the sultans, they are depicted here. When you look at the ceiling, you will see these are some of the kings who ruled Granada. You can look at them. If you look at their faces, some of them had red hair. They looked white because the mothers may have come from European backgrounds. Look at these. These are the sultans of Granada. You can pause and zoom in if you want. So they are on the ceiling. I could explain the names of every single one of the sultans, but we'll keep it short. Inshallah, we can do that when you're on the ground with us on this tour, on this trip. Inshallah, I strongly advise everyone to visit Al-Andalus at least once in your lifetime and not ignore this. It's very affordable. You can easily bring your kids. Let them see it. They have a right over you. Let them see it. And they will remember this for the rest of their lives. This image or these images are not going to leave their minds. This is how you will inspire them about the Muslim civilization. This is another ceiling decorated.
Okay,
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We just finished the tour with the group of Al-Hamra, and I would like to hear from the brothers and sisters who are with us very quickly what their feelings are. So, what do you feel?
Honestly, when I saw it for the first time, I've never seen anything like it. Not even in photos, I can't even describe to you what we've just seen inside the Al-Hamra and just our actual legacy and how proud we are. Like, people from all around the world, like, you can see non-Muslims here, they are traveling so far just to come see our history and our heritage.
Thank you so much.
And we're so proud
to be
that.
A sentence.
Oh, sorry. So
a sentence, please. No speeches. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum. The only thing I can think of saying that is this is a jewel in the history of Muslims.
Absolutely.
A forgotten jewel.
Allahu Akbar.
And more Muslims need to come here.
100.
Absolutely amazing. Blew me away. And I'm not easily impressed.
SubhanAllah.
SubhanAllah, man.
And I agree with you. Words cannot describe.
You can't. I've got goosebumps.
Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is definitely the one of the most magnificent site I've visited, and I recommend every one of us. It's a lifetime worth visiting. Thank you.
I'm mesmerized and saddened at the same time about us losing such a beautiful marvel because of because there was no unity then, but it's awesome. I mean, I just honestly recommend everybody to please come pay a visit.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, I traveled the world, but this is mind-blowing. All the feelings, the emotions, happiness and sad. And inshallah, one day we will get this back. Inshallah.
It's incredible. And as a Muslim, there's so much pride to show that this is what Muslims have achieved. But there is great sadness to know the history behind what they've had to endure thereafter.
Thank you so much, everyone. You heard from our brothers and sisters. A majority of the group has already left, so we have some few feedbacks. Okay, so brothers and sisters, look, the point is our children, our future generations, they deserve to see this. They must see this. And they can only see this when you bring them here. And you can spend money on cars and buying Gucci bags and designer bags and spending money on your lavish weddings and spending money on even masjids, alhamdulillah, which is beautiful. But what about developing your future, developing your future generations? And you can only develop them when you actually show them something tangible to hang on to. You want to give them some sense of pride in their identity, some sense of attachment and belonging. And that can happen when you bring them to Al-Andalus. Let them see Cordoba, let them see Al-Hamra, let them see Al-Khazar, let them see what Muslims have done and achieved here. We have lost a lot of it, but we still possess quite a bit that can be seen. On that note, thank you so much. Okay, we have future trips. You can go and check halalgetaways.com, halalgetaways.com. Check out for future dates. We are going to Morocco, history tour of Morocco, history tour of Spain and Turkey. Thank you so much for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.